All right, pull out your Bible or your phone or a scroll, if you have that. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We're going to camp out there. And really what we're talking tonight, man, we could seriously do a series on what we're talking about tonight for a year. I mean, we are talking about the new covenant. And in order to talk about the new covenant, we somewhat need to know about the old covenant. Amen? So there are things about the old covenant. And listen, the old covenant, whenever you see that word covenant, it just means that there is a promise given, right? And a commitment asked for. Okay, so God makes a promise to Israel. Hey, if you do, the old covenant was, if you do these things, I will bless you. That was the old covenant, right? The new covenant is you have been blessed. God has poured out his spirit upon you. He's given the grace you need to sustain you, all those things. So now do. So the new covenant is you're blessed. So now do. The old covenant was external, temporary, and powerless. Right? The old covenant was powerless. It could not change you and me, right? Paul said if a law could be given that could have imparted life, then Christ would have not had to come, right? But what the law was working with, you and me, was insufficient. We sinned. We fell short of the glory of God. Covenant is also a partnership. So when you think of covenant, think of a partnership. And really we have the Old Covenant, which is the Old Testament. So when you see your Bible and it says Old Testament, it'd be better rendered Old Covenant. Everything that happened in the Old Covenant. The New Testament would be better rendered New Covenant, okay? Because we're in a new covenant with God. When we talk about partnership, right, and commitment, there's a few things that come to our mind when it comes to the idea of a covenant. Number one is marriage, right? How many of you are married in the room? Right? Yeah. You made a covenant, right? A promise. Both of you made promises, right? Now you might be looking at your spouse and being like, you haven't been keeping your promise, but we're not talking about that, right? Like we're not talking about you not upholding your end of the bargain because let's face it, in our relationship with God, we don't always uphold our end of the bargain. But our God keeps his promises, right? So God has promised us something, and there's at least four covenants in the Old Testament. The first one is, I mean, you could say there's an Adamic covenant, which with a covenant with Adam, we'll talk about that, but there's also the Noahic covenant. That's a covenant of promise that God just promises never to flood the earth again. Remember this promise? He goes, hey, whenever you see the rainbow, that's a sign of what? Promise, my covenant that I will never flood the earth again, right? And that's why it's kind of, that's why when the LGBTQ plus community uses that sign, it's really a slap in the face of God. It's going, God, we know that you promised that you would never flood the earth again. Therefore, we can live as horrible as we want to. There is the Abrahamic covenant in the Old Testament. Are you guys with me? All right. There's the Abrahamic covenant in the Old Testament. That covenant is fulfilled in the New Covenant. Okay, the Abrahamic covenant was, hey, through you, all nations will be blessed, and through your offspring. And Paul says in Galatians that the offspring is Jesus. It doesn't say to offsprings, meaning many people. It says to offspring, meaning one person who is Christ, right? So Jesus is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. But then there was another covenant that came, the covenant of the law, right? If you do this, I will bless you. Why was the law given? The law was given, the law was added to lead you and I to Jesus, amen? It was added, because what happened was at Mount Sinai, Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the law and says, hey, if we do these things, God will bless us. And what do the people say? We'll do everything. We'll do it all, right? Why? Because we think that we can achieve in ourselves what only God can do in ourselves. You and I like to boast in the fact that we have it all together. We like to boast that we can accomplish the things that only God can accomplish. In fact, when your life starts looking in order because of what Jesus has done, we can tend to start taking the glory for ourselves. Then there's the Davidic covenant, that the throne of David will never be taken away, ultimately fulfilled in Christ. But I want you to know this. The reason I want you to know it's a partnership is because from the very beginning, from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 1, when God creates man, he creates man to be in a partnership with him. Amen? He creates us to co-rule, to co-labor, to subdue the earth and procreate. And we decide to rebel against that. And so we look at God and we go, I no longer want to partner with you. No, I'd rather partner with this snake that told me I can have everything you said I can't. When God wasn't withholding that from them. Right? Does this make sense? Okay, so the old covenant, external, temporary, powerless, new covenant, eternal, powerful to change, and internal. Right? You guys ready? Does that help at all with the covenants, idea of the covenants? And listen, we all know what it looks like to be committed. Some of you maybe need to be. I'm joking. But like, we all know what it looks like to be committed, right? We make commitments all the time. So there's this promise given, right? And we go, we'll commit to that, right? We'll commit to what you want us to do. So a covenant is to, when you made a covenant with your spouse, you made promises and you committed. Now, in our covenant with God, God has made a promise to us and we are committing ourselves to that, right? We are living sacrifices, right? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We are offering ourselves as living sacrifices. That's part of this new covenant partnership. God, you've done in me what I could not do in myself. You've forgiven me a sin. You made me a new creation. I can now live out the kingdom principles. I'm going to do that because you've given me the power to do it, right? When you married your spouse, you made promises to that spouse and you committed. Now the job is committing to the promises in which you made. But my wife's non-commitment, if she's not committed, that doesn't nullify my promise I made. God keeps his promises because your unfaithfulness does not nullify the promise that God made. He just calls you to deeper faithfulness and deeper faithfulness. You know when we know we're committed to something? Netflix. Netflix, man. Netflix gets us every stinking time. A new series comes out, right? A friend tells you about the new series, and what do? We binge watch the entire series. Right? And like we get caught up in, like we have a day off and we're like, what are you doing today? I'm watching all of season 5. Right? And like night comes. Why? Because you're committed. Right? We love to commit ourselves to things we love. We have no problem committing ourselves to things we want to do, that we love to do. So what does that say about your love for God? Because, man, it's really easy to commit myself to things I love to do. And I look at my love for God and I go, man, am I really committed, Lord? Am I committed to you? Second Corinthians 3, 1 through 6. You guys ready? I just pray that you remove any barriers in our minds right now, Lord, that are keeping us from this truth, Lord. For God, you've created us anew. And Lord, you've brought us into this new covenant. And so, Lord, I pray for the minds in this room, Lord God, that you remove the veil. And Lord, that we would see clearly the beauty of what you've done. Forgive us, Lord God, for missing the moments that we don't see you, Lord. And God, strengthen this moment. Strengthen us in this moment to hear and listen to you, Lord. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? So what was going on in Corinth is you had these what so-called super apostles coming in and being like, hey, don't listen to those apostles, right? Don't listen to the original apostles. Listen to us, right? And Paul's saying, do we now need a letter of recommendation from you to prove that we are the people who brought the message of Jesus to you in the first and to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. So he's going, your lives are the letter that everyone sees that the message that we brought to you was not without effect, right? It changed you. It brought new life. It empowered you to live the life you couldn't live before. And you show that you are a letter from Christ. Not only are you a letter from us, you're a letter from Christ himself, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. What's Paul saying? He's like, you remember the law? Man, it was written on tablets, but now I'm writing my law on your very heart, right? It's in here. It's no longer outside of you, dictating to you. No, it's inside, doing something powerful in you. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the only point for us to digest tonight is this: my life, your life, is the letter others will read that proves the new covenant has power to transform our lives. Listen, the world is really good at telling us Christians what we're not doing. And you know what? To some extent, they're right. Because they're looking at our lives and going, man, you're telling me that Jesus can change people? He hasn't even changed you. And you're going, well, you know, I do as I say and not as I do. The world needs Christians who are better at living it than saying it. We're really good at saying it. Man, we can speak Christianese with the best of them. You know, we're good at walking in here, acting like we have it all together, smiling at each other. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. You know, bless you. You know, when someone's sick, we go, let me pray for you. Come here. You know, but then we're out in the world and we're in our workplaces or we're in our homes or we're in our neighborhood. Good at getting angry at really stupid stuff. I think Christians take the cake. We will get mad over things that make no sense. We get mad at the world for being the world. The world is the world. Like, you can get angry at sin and be like, look what sin is doing in the world, but we get angry at people, right? Somebody cuts you on the traffic, flicks you off. You're like, I cannot believe that person just did that, right? They mess up your order at a restaurant, right? I cannot, I did not order this. I did not order this. Listen, Karen's in the room. You got to be really careful with how you come across as a Christian. What's the equivalent to a male Karen? Male Karens. Be careful with how you come. Listen. Let it go. You need to learn to let things go. Listen, if the new covenant has given birth in your life, you got to start becoming better than you were before. Come on. That's what the new covenant is supposed to be doing in us. But how does this happen? How does this happen? The letter is written on our hearts through faith. So the new covenant begins internally. God writes his truth on our hearts. Listen to Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Love Hebrews. If you want to know about the law, the old covenant, new covenant, man, look at the book of Hebrews. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is his, through his flesh. So who's the curtain? Remember the veil of the curtain? Remember the curtain in the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament? There was this curtain in the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament that was in the temple that only the high priest could go into. And that only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he would spread the blood over the mercy seat, right? And Jesus is saying, I am that curtain into the Holy of Holies. And since we have a great priest, high priest over the house of God. So who's our high priest now? Jesus himself, man. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Galatians 3, 1 through 5. Oh, foolish Galatians, because you remember the church in Galatia was trying to go back to the law, back to the old covenant, back to the works of the flesh to make themselves right with God. Listen to what he says to them. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's put a spell on you, right? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you foolish? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? See, what happens as a Christian, a lot of times we get caught up in the works instead of realizing, no, it's faith works 100%, but you can't get the cart before the horse, right? Faith always does. But sometimes we get caught up in doing, thinking that that's what makes us pleasing before God. Look, God's pleased with that. He's pleased with those things. And we work towards being pleasing to God in those ways. But it is by the grace of God you've been saved. Listen to Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God. So before, the righteousness of God, we were trying to obtain to the glory of God. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We couldn't make it there on our own. Why? Because sin was in the way, and we kept trying to get ourselves there by doing these works of the law or doing these works. But what the law was working with was not good enough. So, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. So the law and the prophets are bearing witness to this new covenant that's coming. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So this righteousness of God is given to you. It's not, God is making you righteous. I want you to understand this. He has made you righteous. So you are a righteous person. He's made you that. Now he's calling you to live it out, right? He's given you his righteousness, but not just his right. It's because it's all God. But it's also your righteousness. You have this, right? It's alien because it's coming from him, being put in you, given birth to you, inside of you, all those things. For all who believe, for there is no, the righteousness of God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, that word just means the atonement, as an atonement for our sins by his blood to be received by faith. So how do we access this thing? By faith. We don't strive to receive Jesus. We're not striving to go, God, how do you? This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled the partnership with God that you and I couldn't. Jesus, in his humanity, was perfect human, what man always ought to have been. And now in him, through faith in him, he becomes in us, and now we can live that out. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come, right? So the new covenant begins internally. God writes his truth in our hearts. Faith in action makes the letter readable. Faith is not enough. Faith is the starting point. Works brings completion. Okay? If all you, others read the new covenant through our transformed lives. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What does he say? Sorry. Can you bring that one back up there? I'm sorry. Yeah. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, in who? Christ. He is a new creation. Why? Because he's part of the new covenant. He's in the new covenant. He's no longer in the old covenant. He's no longer trying. He's gained access into this new covenant with God, into partnership with God, right? He is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Check out James chapter 2, right? But someone will say, and people say this, man, it's the stupidest thing a Christian could ever say. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. What is he saying? He's saying some Christians in the room have a demon-like faith. You don't have a faith that transforms your life. You have faith that's like demons. You're like, I recognize you, God. Listen, if your faith doesn't move you to action, you don't have saving faith. So don't deceive yourself in this room. Don't deceive yourself in this room thinking you love God. And look, I'm not saying, listen. It's not hard. God is wanting to empower you to live this life out. You can serve God by serving your spouse. You can serve God by serving your children. You can serve God by serving your school. You can serve God by serving the people that you work with. You can serve God, like God is asking you to be his representative in the sphere of influence he's put you in. He's not asking you to be me. So when faith works, you're not looking at me going, well, I guess I gotta do what Aaron does. No, Aaron does what Aaron does because God has empowered me to do that. You do what you do because God's empowered you to do that. God is not asking you to be faithful in my work. He's asking you to be faithful in your work that he's given you to do. Amen? So faith works, however that looks for your life right now, right? Lord, what does it look like for me, for faith to work for me in my sphere of influence, in the place that you've placed me? Because there are people that you're going to come in contact with that I will never come in contact with. There are people that you're going to come in contact with that Joe or Cord will never come in contact with. Why? Because God didn't send me to your coworkers. God didn't send me to your kids. God didn't send me to your spouse. God didn't send me to your community, your neighborhood. No, God placed you there. And God doesn't make a mistake. Faith works. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person? Don't you love when the Bible calls us things? Like last, everyone here on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, were you guys all here? Yeah, that whole dung passage where it's like, God's like, I'm going to wipe your face with the dung of your offering. You're like, dang, Lord. Wow. Okay. Like no one's ever cut anyone down like that. God's like, I'm going to give you the smackdown right now. Foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Now, this is interesting. Paul talks about faith that justifies you in the starting point. Faith justifies you. It makes you righteous. But faith that does not accompany works is not reached its completion. So when he says Abraham was justified by works, he's saying that his faith was seen in what he did. When he offered up his son Isaac on the altar, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Listen to Galatians 5:22, man. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Why? Because all those things are in the law. Right? Jesus broke it down to two commandments. What are they? Love the Lord your God with our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? Everyone. Everyone. Right? Listen to Romans 8, 1 through 4. I love this passage. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Right? For the law of the Spirit of life, that's the new covenant, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Because the law, all the law brought was sin and death. Why? Because what the law was working with was sinful. It didn't have the power to actually live it out. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law, hold up now, wait a minute. Are you saying we have to live that out? Yeah, that's what Jesus is saying. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh anymore, but according to the Spirit. So your life is the letter that the world is reading. And it tells them what the new covenant is. It's accessed through faith. It's read through living out that faith. But man, God's grace provides the power to guide life faithfully. Listen to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us. So what is the grace of God doing? It's training you. Training you to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. This is what grace is doing. It's what grace is doing in our life. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So it's by grace, God's unmerited favor. All you're doing is cooperating with the grace of God. When the message came to you, when the message of the gospel was proclaimed to you, you cooperated with God, right? And you were like, I'm all in with that, Lord. I want what you're offering, right? You were cooperating with the Spirit of God at that moment that was preaching to you the message that you needed to be saved. And you cooperated. You're like, I'm in. And you believed. You trusted, right? Through faith, that's what you did. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Even the faith. God is going, I'm giving you the grace and faith right now to believe. Will you receive it? And you went, yep. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We can't boast in this, for we are his workmanship. So whose workmanship are we? His. Man, we share this verse all the time. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. So why were we created in Christ Jesus? Nope, just to sit in the pew, sit in a chair, not do anything, and be no different than we were when we came to know Jesus. That's how we act. Just look at your search engine on your phone. What have you been looking up lately? Is that surrender to the Lordship of Jesus? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're called to be faithful. Amen? Hebrews 4, 16. Let us then, with confidence, not our own confidence, we don't come before the throne of God cocky or presumptuous. We don't kick the door of heaven down and go, I'm here, Lord. Right? No, we come before the throne of grace with confidence, but it's not confidence in us, it's confidence in him. In understanding, we need the grace of God to continue in this walk with him. We can't do it on our own. We can't sustain ourselves, right? Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says that God said to him, remember, he pleaded with God to take this thorn away from him. Remember, Lord, take this thorn away from my side. But what did God say to him? He said, my grace is what? Sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For where you are weak, then you are strong. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace Listen, for those of you who are haughty, proud, that throne is only a throne of judgment. But to those of you who are humble and understand your insufficiencies, that throne is always a throne of grace. Why? Because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive what? Mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Grace, listen, we access it by faith. It's readable by what we do, but man, grace is the, it is what we all need. Why? Because we still fail. And aren't you happy that in this new covenant, God's grace is working in you what you could not work in yourself? And that we have a God who, when we sin, he forgives us and helps us to move forward. And it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to continue living it out. Transformation is going, is ongoing. The Spirit sustains and empowers our witness, right? Listen to what Paul says, and we're almost done. Philippians, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. This is interesting. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So what is he saying? He's saying your job in this endeavor, man, really, like if you were not listening to anything, like listen, if you checked out tonight, right? If you're just like, why does he talk so much? You know, and like, or you're thinking about something, like key in right now, right? You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling in your cooperation with God's Spirit working in you to both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. What's your job? Surrender to the work that he's wanting to do. That's you working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Does that make sense? So we're working and God's working. Right? You're working and he's working, but you're working in conjunction with his work and you're surrendering to that. Does that make sense? Okay. Ephesians 3:16, that according to the riches of his glory, this is Paul praying for the church in Ephesus, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being. So God is empowering this new covenant. God didn't, in the old covenant, we didn't have the Spirit of God working in us to do according to God's good pleasure. We didn't have that. We couldn't, but he has made us alive now through the Spirit, right? Listen to Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in now live in the flesh. I live by faith. There's faith again. And the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, we are unbelieving believers. We say we believe God, but then when the moment comes to do what he's called us to do, we shrink back in unbelief. God is calling us to walk by faith. My life is the letter others will read that proves the new covenant has power to transform lives. The question for us is, is your life that letter? Is your life that letter? Because God has done something new in you. He's done something new in you, and he's asking you to cooperate with him in this new life, right? Listen, I know this was heavy. I know it wasn't a lot of joking around. I know it was a little bit maybe not so like me. But this is a major theological point. That you have been granted a new covenant. And in that new covenant, God has made a promise to you to walk with you, to be with you, to strengthen you, to give you the grace that you need. All he's asking you to do is cooperate with the Spirit of God that's been placed in you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are now the place where God dwells. Remember in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were walking through the desert and the cloud followed them by day and the fire by night. And then the presence of God was not with everybody. It was in this very specific place in the Holy of Holies that only one person could go. But now God has placed himself in you. And the glory of God, now the weightiness that Cor talked about on Saturday and Sunday, the weightiness of God now goes with you everywhere you go. And the glory of God now goes everywhere you go. And that's why when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and then he looks at you and says, now you are the light of the world. Why? Because that light is in you. Man, we got to let our light shine. Because, listen, I want to reach all of Ormond for the gospel. I want to reach the entire city of Ormond with the gospel. But I can't do it by myself, right? Like, we need each other to do this mission that God's given us to give. Listen, we're great about going around the world. We're great at going to places that are outside of our own city. We're great at giving to things that are outside our own city. But, man, we have to be about the people that are in our own sphere of influence. Because the world needs Jesus, man. Listen, I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. I just want God to do in me what only his new covenant can do in me. And I just want God to do in you what only his new covenant can do in you. Father, we just ask that you would do in us what only you can do, Lord God. We thank you for the new covenant, God. We thank you that you have empowered us to live the life, to partner with you in this life, to be a light to the world around us, because you created us for partnership with you. You created us for relationship with you, Lord God. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd help us just to live out that relationship in the faces of other people, in the lives of other people, that they would see that we have a new covenant, that they can be brought into the relationship with you that they're missing, and that their lives can be radically altered by the good news that, Lord, you have made a way. So, Lord, help us to live that out. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen.